whose side are these people on?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's November 11th, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination Episode 147.
This is No Agenda.
With the knowledge that it's always in the morning somewhere and coming to you from the very heart of Gitmo Nation, home to the Supreme Leader. From Chicago, I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where night has fallen, even though it's in the morning someplace, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill
in the morning.
And happy Poppy Day to you, John.
Yeah, well, they have this thing going on in Canada, too.
It is, first of all, happy Veterans Day. You know, I come from a long line of people who have served in the military and other forms of government service. So, happy Veterans Day to y'all. Appreciate your
really?
Service.
So why did you leave? Why were the Mevio offices open then?
Is it a day when? Well, it's not a government building yet.
It's a government holiday. The postal guy wasn't working. The banks were closed. I had to go to the bank today. Click, click, click. The bank was closed.
You're such a bonehead.
Hey, by the way, talking about that, so I'm watching the C-SPAN like we do for our
entire audience. Yes.
And I'm watching C-SPAN, and they're discussing the something or other, and it wasn't interesting. But they said for good reason. They said,
it's C-SPAN.
this is like on Tuesday of this week. They said the Senate and the House of Representatives will be taking the rest of the day off on at noon on Tuesday to celebrate tomorrow's holiday, and they'll be off for the whole week.
You're shitting me.
No. They took the whole week off. So after, basically, they worked Monday and a half day Tuesday, and then they're off.
Ah, that's an outrage. So what are they running on C-SPAN now? Repeats?
No, they're running, not repeats, but, really vague committee meetings. There was one I was watching. I was saying, what am I watching this for? It was about the cemetery at Arlington and how they're going to finance it. It's just terrible.
So it was pretty interesting that one of our producers pointed out that Veterans Day falls on Poppy Day. And, it hit me like a laser beam to the forehead. Like, oh, of course, Poppy Day. This is the way they celebrate Veterans Day in the United Kingdom. In fact, it is so such a national scale that you can even buy – they have these paper poppies. And everybody wears them, kids, old people, young people. And they don't even know why, obviously. They're just like, hey, give me one of them poppies. But how ironic. The irony is just outrageous that we are celebrating Poppy Day, the actual plant that we are guarding in Afghanistan for the harvest, which is any day now once we get our 48,000 troops and can ship it all back stateside and get everybody high. How ironic.
It's one of those little gags they like to play.
Now, that's by the exactly way, it's also, what it is.
They also have these poppies for sale up in Canada. I was just in Edmonton. And the poppies are just like for the Royal Mounted Police Fund or something. But they sell them everywhere. There's like a dollar and you stick one
right.
on.
How come they don't do that in the States? They thought it would be really too blatant if they did that in the States? Like, come on, man. We can't.
They used to
that.
Have something like that, but I can't. When I was a kid, I remember there used to be something like that, but they... I just disappeared one day, and I don't remember when or how or much about it anymore. It's just, but they used to have something similar. By the way, we should introduce today's executive producers.
Yes, who is our? Oh, yeah, that's right. We have more than one. Correct.
We have co-executive producers because of the amount they gave.
Nice. What we got?
Okay. Well, the first one is William Arcand from Dracut, Massachusetts. And he actually gave us two donations, which totaled $311.10.
Holy crap. Thanks, David.
William.
Yeah. That's what, didn't I say William?
You said David, I think.
Oh,
brother.
William, I'm sorry. I'm taking two to the head myself.
So William is one of the executive producers, and he will be mentioned, and he can use it on his resume. And the other one is Nelson Kunkel from Edwards, Colorado, who gave us $250. Wow. And I felt that they should be co-executive producers, and that's where they're going to show up as two names on the website. And, as again, like they can put it on their resume. They financed today's show.
Financed in its entirety, pretty much, and we highly appreciate it. John, would you please put those two names on the Skype for me so I can put them in the show notes at noagendashow.com?
Yeah.
Because of course, you have to put it on your resume. You don't have to, but I think it would behoove
it
you
would
to
be
put
cool.
this. Yeah, you
cool.
put it on your resume. Hey, I produced, or in What's the second donor's name? I'm spacing today.
Man, Nelson Kunkel.
Nelson, right. So William can put on his CV, I was producer of No Agenda, episode 147, and of course, then there's co-producer credit, which is, that's as good as producer credit. And it looks good on the resume, you know. In fact, I think co-producer credit looks even maybe a little bit cooler. Because, you know, it means you didn't have to do all the work, you just put the money in.
Well, neither one of them did that much work. He said, well, you had to go to the site. I got some woman in Russia who can't get on my Dvorak.org/NA, so I'm going to have to put the link someplace else. Even though we got a donation, believe it or not. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, you, from Russia. Cool.
But this woman is also from Russia, but she's from a different part of Russia where they obviously have my my web address blocked. And this is happening all over the world, by the way. The internet is hardly what it was supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. It's happening.
The scam.
Before we get into it, two things I wanted to mention. One is some feedback from one of our producers. Hey there, Adam. Just wanted to drop you a line or two. First of all, love the show. Love what you're doing. I try telling my friends and family about some of the stuff you discuss. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Yeah. The Lisbon Treaty, for example. Swine flu, another example. I'm even writing a paper in one of my classes based around our shared views of the swine flu conspiracy. However, I'm a starving college student, my only sustenance being rice cakes and peanut butter and the shitty food they provide for us at the cafeteria, which actually has laxatives in it. Mouthwatering, isn't it? I guess that's for another show. I would love to donate, just don't have the means. I'm sorry. Hope this email's encouragement will help you morally. Keep up the good work, and I'm sure to donate as soon as I have the funds. Another thing, about a week ago, I heard John say his son was in favor of the RFID chip implants and that, quote, everyone our age is. Hell no. I will never get one, nor allow any of my family members to get one. It's the most perverted and egregious breach of civil liberties conceivable. The day the government makes implanted chips mandatory is the day I move into the woods of Washington State in a secluded cabin, Ted Kaczynski style, minus all the bombings and stuff. So I just wanted Teddy Edwards to get a shout out there, John, and just so you know that they're not all like your communist son.
Well, there you have it.
Who is doing a fine job at Nevio, by the way.
Yeah, he seems to be into my son's an intern there, and just for people who want a little background, he said, can you get me an internship? And I said, probably. And at first thought, I'm thinking, you know,
and we pay our interns, by the way.
Yeah, and they pay well for interns, for sure. But anyway, and they usually end up hiring, which I think is even more interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so I first immediately walked him over to the production side of things, saying, well, you know, he probably wants to learn how to use the TriCaster, and he wants to produce shows, and he wants to do this and that. And it was like, and I was talking to Nick about, well, I can probably get him a spot. And it dawned on me. I said, what do I want to put a kid in some, no offense to you technicians out there, what really amounts to a dead-end job.
And no future.
And no future.
And this kid went to college, right? Didn't he graduate summa cum laude something or other?
Yeah, he graduated summa cum something. But anyway,
summa cum now.
So I said, wait a minute, what about Moody? Because the real future this is a recommendation for people out there who want to think about what they want to do in the future. SEO, you know, software engine optimization. I mean, once that's on your bio, you can get a job anywhere.
Search engine optimization.
Yeah, search engine optimization.
Yeah, yeah. That's the gig you want right now. That's the big one.
Yeah, it's like a black art. Nobody, you know, everybody does it different. It's much in demand, and only a few people are doing it. And there's a lot of.
It's not hard. It's not hard if you know how a search engine works and you keep up with some of the forums. You can figure it out. It's not hard at all.
No, it's not hard, but it's a moving target.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what's beautiful about it. It's kind of an art, you know, and what value do you put on art? It's what a crazy person will pay for it.
Anyway, so when I thought, I said, this is, what am I thinking? You know, put him in.
Stop. Doing shows.
No. I could be a gapper.
Best boy. Hey, we should have a best boy on our show.
We need a best boy.
Yeah, we need a best boy.
And we need a gaffer too. This forum has got too many.
I need a gaffer, and I need a fluffer. I need a
fluffer. Well, you need a fluffer. Yeah, that's for sure.
One other interesting piece of feedback from Rick DeHart, I'm sure. Deckard, I'm sorry. Rick Deckard from, I'm sure, the Netherlands. And he caught up on, I think it was actually last week. We've talked about this before, how your brain cannot process the word not. It can't process a negative. So instead of saying, don't forget to bring the milk, to buy the milk, you will, of course, forget it because your brain processes forget to buy the milk. So you need to say, remember to buy the milk. And he said, wow, that's really interesting when you look at the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery.
That's a fun, and no one's ever mentioned that before.
Thou shalt not steal. I mean, that's like, it's like awesome. Hey. This is like the code to make us do all this nasty shit.
And like they say, only sinners go to church.
Bada bing. I wish I
had. So talking about sinners, I want to just bring up something that just is a subtopic there, because I was just before we started the show, I was forcing myself to watch Hannity. And
why do you do that? I mean, C-SPAN is rough enough.
Hannity's, well, because every week we talk about this, about the two different, the lefties and the righties, or they have their little issue that they have that week to keep people distracted. Mm-hmm. And this week, lefties.
Is it still the Fort Hood massacre?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the righties have got the Fort Hood thing, but it's like all the signs that he was a Muslim crazy man. Oh, nobody,
dude,
ever,
this
all
is
ignored.
Exactly what we predicted. The president started it with his soft, like, ooh, defending the country, blah, blah, and now it's all this Muslim shit, and it's going to be right in time for the Patriot Act to be signed again when they get back from vacation.
Well, I got a couple of clips that kind of show you the way on some of this stuff. Now, the lefties are all concerned about the Blue Dog Democrats and how they didn't vote for health care as if it didn't pass, and they're kind of all upset about that. Well, so it's interesting to watch these two sides, but... But yes. The thing that caught my attention was Hannity's going on and kind of dismissing as crazy and stupid and all these other things regarding the AMA, who came out saying that, hey, this marijuana stuff, maybe we should rethink it. Maybe it is something that could be good in the medicinal setting and blah, blah, blah. And just as soon as I saw that, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Again, are these supposed to be conservatives that, you know, want government out of your life and want personal responsibility, but are really for all these drug laws? I mean, I'm not quite getting the connection between saying that you want personal responsibility and saying you want government out of our lives, but acting as though there is no personal responsibility, thus we need all these drug laws, and B, we want the government to have the DEA and all the rest of it, and the war on drugs and all this other stuff. What am I missing here?
Well, because it's all the same people running it. You know, we call them Democrats, but they're running all parts of the media. It's just a big game. It's just to keep you occupied. And in fact, you fell into the trap. You were like, must watch Hannity. Need to switch to Fox. It's 250 on the Dish Network. I know. Oh no, 205. I think. What is it?
I don't know what it is.
250. I mean, it's horrible. I know the number. It's because must watch Hannity.
Well, I work from 2:15, which or 2:11 is what I work from. I always hit 2:11, and that takes me to C-SPAN.
And then
I can scroll down, and I start going through the, you know, all the crazy stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about. We are so pathetic. However, pathetic or not, we do have a formula.
Our formula is this: we go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And I got to say, John, it's a formula that is effective, and. And I feel like hitting a few people in the mouth today.
Well, you're in Chicago.
Well, that must bring out the worst in me.
How is Chicago, by the way? I haven't been there for a year.
As we say, it's colder than a witch's tit.
Is it cold?
Oh, it was freezing when I arrived. Actual ice on the cars. Yeah, it's very cold. Very, very cold. But there's business to be done that warms my heart, Johnny boy.
So, did you go out to dinner, have some good time? There's a lot of good restaurants. And Chicago has actually become a very much of a mecca for foodies.
Let me think. Well, last night, no. I basically had... I bought 5 extra inches on my United flight.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. It's actually, it's billed as get about an extra 5 extra inches for $49.
Oh, that's that stupid couple rows they have with an extra 5 inches.
It's well worth it. I tell you, it is well worth it. The extra 5 inches. So I had the classic box. It's like, could you poison me anymore? I mean, I'm already in.
It's just a bunch of starches and salt.
It's not even, it's not, it can't even be qualified as food. It's a box with like chemicals. And, you know, I'm like, might as well have a ginger ale with it. Well, there's nothing else. There's nothing else to eat.
And you have tomato juice. That tends to fill you up and you can get to the flight.
Yeah, but I got into the hotel at 1:30. You know, I'm going to have wait for room service until 2 and then
stop
eating
at the bar. The bars
2:30.
Are open until 2.
So I'm at the Bleep Hotel. That's one of these boutique hotels. And it's a cool hotel, by the way. And
yeah, well, thanks for telling us what it is.
The Saks Hotel.
Never heard of it.
Which is right next to the House of Blues. And so it's a, you know, it's an old building that they redid. It's now a boutique hotel. And so you walk in at 1:30 in the morning and the lounge is, the bar is open. And so, you know, you're checking in. It's like, and there's no one in the bar, but there's
can
a DJ.
Do that again? That's enough. I was just kidding.
And there's a DJ playing. There's no one there. Not a single solitary soul. If there were some chicks, I would have gone in. There was nothing. So I had breakfast and a burger.
Yeah,
for
well,
lunch.
Those things are passe.
And I had macadamia nuts when I got back. I haven't even had dinner yet. And here it is. It's 9:04 in Chicago. Doing the show. Yeah. Doing it early. The way we like to roll.
Yeah.
We don't like
well,
to go late.
Done.
Yeah, getting it done. But if we have to do it at a different time, we prefer to do it early. That way people who are expecting the stream
in the morning,
they can at least listen to the show in the morning, even though it's not
yeah,
live.
Well, the show, it's just also in the morning somewhere. So let's go to some clips since we're kind of stalling here on I don't know what.
Well, I just wanted to talk some shit. I mean, I got plenty of... Let's not forget... let's remember to talk about V. But we can do that after your clips.
Oh, V.
We can do that after
That's
your
right.
clips.
That's right. I made you a dub of V yes. so you could watch it.
By the way, when you make me a dub, would you mind just burning it as a real DVD and not like an AVI on a DVD disc?
My son did it.
Oh. Well, that sucked.
And we tried doing it the other way. We tried burning it as a DVD.
Yeah.
Because we had the AVI, and it would turned out that it wasn't working right on a Mac or something. He's a Mac user, you know. He's Mac.
Well, so Mickey and I wound up sitting on the couch with a chair in front of the couch with the laptop, you know, like leaning over, watching the whole show. It's not very cool, especially when you have a huge flat screen.
Oh, you know, it played on my DVD fine.
This is the setup that you recommended I buy. So.
I didn't have anything to do with what DVD you purchased, DVD
yeah,
player.
Yes, you do, because it was built into the sound bar that you thought was cool.
Oh, well, that was a blunder then.
Mm-hmm.
I have a DVD writer on my TV set, and I recommend
DVD
that to everybody.
DVD writer.
Because the thing is that often you want a clip or you want something, you need a, you know, you want to record a show or your DVR is filled and you just, or you want to make something for a friend and say, hey, did you see the show? And a DVD writer is great. And the DVD writer also seems to like a lot more formats, which is probably why
yeah.
it played an
yeah,
AVI
yeah,
native and yours doesn't.
Oh, by the way, before we get started with the clips, I have some very sad news, John. And I'm not joking around. So we have our two pigeons, Fred and Ginger, who of course laid eggs, or as John would say, eggs, in the windowsill. We're on kind of the second floor with the containment cell there, right off the deck. And I've been feeding them, and of course we hatched two pigeons. We still don't know what chick pigeons are called, and so we named them Oatmeal and Granola. Because, you know, for what I fed them every single day. And so, unfortunately, Mickey called me with the news. You know, we've been waiting for them to fly. And, of course, they're on the ledge two stories up. And I guess today was flight day. And Oatmeal didn't make it.
She's down at the bottom dead?
Yeah. And granola was down.
What about
down.
The other one?
Yeah, granola.
Granola's okay?
Granola's okay. Granola flew down with, we think, ginger. It's kind of hard to tell them apart. And they were, you know, sitting around going, boo, boo, boo. You know, that was sad. So I guess that's why nature makes two of them.
So I guess.
Well, yeah, it sucks, though. It was, you know, it was like,
well, at least it wasn't eaten by a crow.
No. Mickey picked it up, and she was like ready to call.
Did she bury it?
I haven't asked what she did with it.
Yeah, she probably picked it up and buried it. This just proves the two of you are kind of nutty.
No, we're not nutty. She actually
it's a
said,
pigeon.
I went down, I rushed
now
down
she,
and
now
see
she
if he was
French.
She would have eaten it.
Exactly.
No. That's mean, John.
The
no,
bones are still soft when it's young.
And she said if it was breathing, she would have taken it to the animal hospital.
They would have said, what are you thinking? It's a pigeon.
I know, but we love them. You know, it's yeah. Like, anyway, so we'll have to see how granola does. But oatmeal was also the smaller of the two, so I think it was just like fly day, and you know it just wasn't ready or something like that. So
yeah, it's a runt.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure everybody listening in is fascinated by this story.
Well, no, the people appreciate that. We've got our vegan in residence who always wants to hear about the pigeons, and he'll be sad.
Yeah, I guess vegans are sad at the drop of a hat.
This is true. All right, clip time.
So I don't remember what the clips are.
No.
Oh, I got one about – I got a Christina clip. You gave us a story about Christina being harassed.
My daughter, yes, being harassed on the train.
Yeah, well, here's a local version of the same story.
Do we need to set it up with Christina's story?
No, it's just a news story from the newspaper. You'll know what it's about immediately.
An Immuni station agent could face battery charges following a fight with a couple of passengers. Happened this evening at the Embarcadero station. The agent apparently asked a young woman for identification because she had bought a juvenile ticket. The woman said she was 17 but failed to produce any ID. The agent wouldn't let her and a friend board the train. Police say that's when the fight broke out. Investigators right now say it appears the agent was the aggressor. In that case, both the young woman and the agent were taken to the hospital with minor injuries.
Oh yeah, totally. You put these days we're so programmed, and this of course is all done. It's mass mind control. We're so programmed. The minute you get a uniform, then all of a sudden you got like some magical power, like you're wearing
Nazis.
Superman's cape. Yes,
well, I am the boss.
Yeah, absolutely.
You will obey.
It's my train, and you'll do what I tell you. Damn it. Yeah, it's out of control. And we
That's
were
totally
and,
out of control.
And we
and
worry about
person,
political
hope they
correctness.
Throw this book at this person.
Yeah.
She punched the other person out. No, you don't have any ID. I'm going to kick your butt.
Yeah. It's my train. No ID. No service. No ID. Get off my train.
No, nice. Anybody that was somebody comes in with a youth fare, and unless she's an old woman who probably has another kind of fare they could do, there's no reason to be even questioning them. Just let them go on. What are they saving, a nickel?
Yeah, and
50 cents?
And by the way, that train is so high class. It's so worth it.
Right.
It's so clean and so pristine and lovely. And what do they charge?
It's all the rest of the Muni crap in San Francisco. By the way, ladies and gentlemen out there listening to this, if you happen to have the unfortunate belief that San Francisco is some great tourist town, which it is if you like being hit up by bums every couple blocks and the grime in the street and the fact that the parking is 25 cents for 5 minutes, literally.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. They have probably the worst public transportation system in the world. These things are dirty. People are getting beat up constantly. There's one, you know, assault after another. Do not take public transportation if you come to San Francisco ever. And the cabbies, by the way, will rip you off. Rent a car.
And on top of that, they're building the world's biggest bus terminal on my doorstep.
Yeah, for what reason?
It's an amazing construction, I tell you that. Just an
amazing
construction.
Anyway, so avoid San Francisco.
Hell yeah.
If you want to go to some, you know, Seattle's a pleasant place. Or, you know, heck, well, go to Paris.
Or Australia.
Go to South America. There's all kinds of cool things to do down there.
Yeah, you should really not be hanging out here. Why did I even consider coming back, I question.
I don't know. It's a mystery to me.
John, before you forget, my friend, you and I, this very program, and when we win, We will, of course, thank all of our producers by name. It'll be an entire show where it'll just be the acceptance speech award. We've been nominated for 2 podcast awards, and I'm quite proud of this because I was nominated for the very first podcast awards, which I think was five, six years ago, and I won Best Produced. And this year, No Agenda is nominated for the quote the general category, which I mean, can you imagine an Academy Awards where it's like, and the Academy Award for the best general movie goes to, what the hell is that? How dumb. Best general. But of course, I'm proud of the People's Choice Award. We're nominated in that category.
So. Yeah. Well, either way, I think we should win both.
Hell yeah.
We didn't get anything for best produced with all these jingles and things we do.
I mean, we definitely should be getting some of that.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yeah! I'll bet.
We need to get the ball cancer thing in there. I'm going to work on that one.
Yeah, could you cut
and with the
could
applause?
Could you cut me? Could you cut the ball
got
cancer?
Got ball cancer.
Clip?
Yay!
It's not funny, man. It's not funny.
Well, it's not funny, as a matter of fact. But
before we get try to,
we sometimes it's better to make light.
Just
of
make
things.
Light of horrible. Yeah, you know, I am like that. Whenever someone's dying, I can't help but crack jokes. Whenever there's something really messed up, I go into it's. I know it's a way of dealing with emotion, but I'm the guy that goes into joke making mode. I just can't help myself, and sometimes it cheers people up.
I doubt it.
No, it does. It does.
Well, here comes Curry again with some more one-liners about, you know, about my gallbladder. So,
my mom used to do that. I'd be like, when she was dying of lung cancer, I'd say, hey, Mom, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm doing great, except for the fucking lung cancer that's killing me. It's like, I loved her for that. That was funny.
Yeah,
come on, it's funny.
Old women can do that. So what other clips
she
I got
wasn't
there?
Old, dude. That was the problem. She wasn't old.
Wait, what other clips you got?
I see your blackface seems interesting.
Oh yeah, this is yeah. This one is interesting. This is a story right there from your neck of the woods, Chicago.
Chicago.
Over WGN, apparently at Northwestern University, there was some sort of a Halloween thing, and some guys put on blackface, and it became a huge scandal in Chicago. But the thing that's interesting is the commentary by the reporter I thought was fascinating.
Okay, and this is from WGN?
Yeah.
WGN, is this the Loop?
No, this is the world's greatest newspaper, WGN.
It's a newspaper?
No, it was owned by the Chicago Tribune for years, and they owned this TV station, and WGN stands for World's Greatest Newspaper.
You watch that?
I have it. It comes on the Dish Network.
Oh, and you know, we are so underpaid for the amount of work you do personally, John.
This is a fact.
Well, pictures of white students in blackface at a Halloween party sparking anger and debate among those in the Northwestern University community. WGN's Julie Unruh is live on the Evanston campus.
I just got to stop. I love the way she pukes it. You know,
yeah.
I mean? She's like, yeah. Well, white students in blackface, anger and controversy, and lots of discussion over the university. Let's go to
tonight. That's where hundreds gather to discuss it tonight.
To discuss.
Hi, Julie.
Hi to you, Micah. There was a huge turnout here at Northwest.
Hi, you.
Hi, you. No, I think her name is Hi, you, Micah. Hi, you, Micah.
I think she said hi, you. You know, some people say, hey, how you doing? Hi, you.
Really? Isn't her name you, Micah? I thought she said, hi, you, Micah. Because, you know, all these news chicks, they're like all Katie Chung's.
Hi, you, Micah?
Hi, you, Micah.
Okay, well,
hi,
anyway,
you, Micah. There was-
hi, you, Micah. Or maybe, yo, sister!
Tonight. Hi, Julie.
Hi to you, Micah. There was a huge turnout here at Northwestern to talk about exactly what happened on Halloween night. To be specific, sounds like two students dressed as blackface, a racially insensitive character, really a throwback to the 1800s.
Whoa. Whoa, hold on a second. Let me get that sentence again.
Oh, it gets better.
So, dressed in blackface, really racially offensive, throwback to the 1800s. Wasn't this vaudeville still taking place in Sammy Davis Jr.'s day in 1930s? Okay, I'm sorry.
Students dressed as blackface, a racially insensitive character, really a throwback to the 1800s, when white slave owners would mock their slaves. Now, the day
okay. after...
This is not true! This
what?
This is bullshit.
What are you talking
this
about, you dumb woman reporter?
Julie! Julie, you ignorant slut!
I mean, give me a break. It came out of the minstrel tradition, is where it came from. That's what. I mean, just but let's just take the remote possibility that white slave owners would go into blackface to mock the slaves. I mean, are you kidding me? Hey, let's go mock the slaves and maybe they'll kill us in our sleep.
Here's some coal. I got an idea.
I have a thought. Let's mock them.
We have not humiliated, whipped them, or beaten them enough. We need to mock them. See, I was watching C-SPAN the other day. They had a documentary on Sammy Davis Jr., and you saw him in blackface. And he was born in, like, you know, the late 30s, I think.
Blackface only ended in the probably around 1960.
Yeah. But it's a throwback to the 1800s. This is Queen Elizabeth was in blackface.
Do you, can you, I mean, do these people just make it up as they go along on these news shows? And of course, there's no question. Nobody says anything. And the woman, I believe the woman who's the anchor is actually black.
No.
And she could have said something, but no. She doesn't care either.
Her name is Wayumi. That's impossible.
Oh, hi Wayumi.
Hi Wayumi.
Hi Wayumi. Hi Yumi. How'd you get to Hi Yumi?
I don't know. Let's listen to that. That was a beautiful piece of prose. This is, and by the way, the same woman will report on actual news coming up.
Racially insensitive character, really a throwback to the 1800s when white slave owners would mock their slaves.
Now, wait a minute. Let's look at Wikipedia. Maybe that's in Wikipedia.
Oh, it could be.
Let's see.
That's where they get most of the news background stuff.
Exactly.
If anybody hasn't noticed, by the way, Wikipedia is the source from today's mainstream.
Let's see. Oh, blackface is theatrical makeup used by white people to play black people. In the United States, where the practice became popular during the 19th century, so that's the 1800s, it became associated with certain archetypes of American racism, such as the happy-go-lucky darkie on the plantation, or the dandified coon. Here it is. Blackface was an important tradition in the American theater for roughly 100 years, beginning around 1830.
Yeah, it was because they couldn't use blacks for the minstrel shows, even though there was actually one black troupe. I saw there was a special on PBS about the minstrels, and there was actually a black troupe that did go around, but for the most part, it was white entertainers that, you know, stole the material. By the way, and the blacks always complain about this with good reason. You guys are stealing our material.
Yeah, it's true. What are you going to do about it?
Absolutely. What are you going to do about true. It? So anyway,
it's
but
absolutely
it's not to mock them.
Oh.
It was white slave owners, and it wasn't theatrical folks. It was white
slave owners
mocking them. I mean, who comes up with this? Does she just dream this up out of the blue?
Does it get better?
Does it just, no, it's the end of it.
No, but no, I'm there's just, more. There seems to be 29 seconds
just
left.
Oh, a bunch of crap. Shit. Oh, yeah, play the rest of it.
Now, the day after Halloween, back here in Evanston, images like the one we're about to show you.
I'm amazed she didn't say Halloween, which, of course, is a pagan festival, which dates back to the 1700s when plantation owners used to mock pumpkins.
Or news about it was spreading like wildfire across the campus. At least one of the two students is reportedly an athlete here at Northwestern.
Which means he's a good guy. You shouldn't
he's
be doing that.
He's reportedly an athlete. Can't you find out if he is one or not? You're doing the story.
He's reportedly an athlete with flu-like symptoms.
Encouraging tonight's forum on the subject, says the students using...
What was that? There was a little piece left over from last night.
Tonight's forum on the subject, says the students using very poor judgment, did not break any rules. Excuse me, for now. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here. For now, it doesn't appear there'll be any...
Honey, you're losing your mind. Okay? You're not just losing your voice. And you should be losing your job. Oh, that's a good one, John. That's cool.
That was a total eye roller.
WGN stands for World's Greatest Newspaper. So how do they hire this bonehead?
I'd like to know where she got this impression. You know, I get the sense there's a lot of people out there that actually, you know, they picked this stuff up in high school or somebody said something. You know, the liberal, not to complain about today's school or educational system that Obama's supposed to do something about, he's done nothing. But, you know, most of the schools are extremely liberal. I mean, my kids, I had to put them in private schools and homeschool.
Because it was out of control, right?
Yeah, because they'd come home and it would be, what are you talking about?
Which, all of them? Or
yeah. It was like Columbus was only came here as a horrible person, a slave trader.
Yeah, horrible man.
Like, you know, Martin Luther King is the one who freed the slaves. I mean, the misinformation, crazy ideas.
By any chance, were they taught the Constitution in school, John?
No. Why bother?
It's just an old piece of the Constitution, which reportedly dates back to the 1600s, is known as a piece of paper with a bunch of signatures on it.
So,
the King of England.
So I assume that this woman probably heard about this thing about blackface from some teacher who just threw it out there, and she remembered it because she obviously, I don't think she just dreamed it up. She must have heard it. But she uses it as part of her reportage, which is like, what are you talking about? This is the thing we pointed out recently where the woman went on and on about how the Chinese and Mexicans built the railway.
This is why we call it a media assassination, because the only way we know to wake our fellow citizens of Gitmo Nation up is to expose what is going on before you, that you let seep into your brain every single evening for hours on end. You let that shit take place. You have to stop it.
You stay off the TV.
Turn off your TV. Absolutely.
So we're going to go with some media assassination. I got one here that's kind of interesting. It's actually, I think it's...
We got two more clips. You want to do some other stories before you blow through all the clips?
Well, since we're on a media assassination thing, I think this is
okay.
Is going to take us to the shooting at Fort
okay,
Hood.
Good,
this is
good.
My favorite Fox guy, Shepard Smith. And by the way, I have to say this because I think this guy is an out and out douche.
And hey, that's a very hip word for you to use, John.
And I have to say, though, that I, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like me personally. They don't like my style of writing. They don't like the way
it's
I talk.
Just because they don't know you.
And there's people that don't like you.
Because I'm a douche.
Some of them do know you, by the way.
I'm just a douche. Wait a minute. There are people who actually know me that you know who don't like me?
No, not really. Everybody's in love with you.
No. Come on. Tell me. Who is it?
I don't know. Well, Leo.
Wait, how can you say he doesn't like me? You don't know that for a fact.
I just think he doesn't like you. I mean, he's always saying nasty things behind your back.
Oh, well, that does it.
Anyway, it's beside the point.
I shall put on some blackface and mock him.
The point is that there are people you just people don't like me, people don't like you for whatever reason. There's just like some personality quirk, or you just don't like the person. You don't have to like everybody in the world, and I don't care.
In fact, I don't want everybody to like me. No, I don't want everybody to like me. Absolutely.
No, and maybe some people aren't going to like you. I mean, some people don't like me, and that's just the way it is. I don't like Shepard Smith.
Hello, Kettle. This is the pot calling.
I don't like Shepard Smith, and it could be just some sort of prejudice I have because he looks like a Southern Baptist preacher and talks like one, and he's full of crap.
Right on.
So I have a couple of clips. They're come in different order. I probably have them in reverse order, but it's about the shooting. And you might as well play the one that says to play first, and we'll go over. This is a long clip that you're going to have to interrupt a lot. It's him getting a rundown.
Shepard Smith is the Ryan Seacrest of Fox. That's essentially what it is. Yeah, that's what he is.
But I kind of like Ryan Seacrest.
I do too, in a way, because it's like these kind of no talent guys, and Ryan Seacrest is very successful. You know, he's got a huge radio show in Los Angeles. He produces half the shows on E. I mean, and the guy on The Soup always takes the piss out of him, which I like, and he takes it, you know, because he's
I think he's got a good personality.
He's got a good sense of humor. He takes all that shit about his height, and he's making dough, and he's doing
guy's loaded.
Yeah. But Shepard Smith is kind of, I mean, I don't know exactly what he does, but he reminds me of Ryan Seacrest. So it is the Ryan Seacrest of Fox. Let's hear what he has to say about the Fort Hood shooting.
And supervisors once met to discuss concerns about his behavior. A military source tells the Associated Press that doctors were worried about how Major Hassan was acting in the...
So this, of course, is the meme that's being spread. And in a way, I like it, but of course, it's horrible and not true. Is that it was due to political correctness well, we didn't want to, you know, like seem like we were profiling the Muslim guy. Because, you know, well, we thought he was kind of weird, but, you know, we didn't want to, like, upset the Muslim community.
Months before the attack at Fort Hood. Catherine Herridge with that part of the investigation live in Washington tonight. Catherine, what's that all about?
Well, thanks, Jeff. The Associated Press is citing an unnamed military official who says that...
Lovely. That's reporting right there. Citing an unnamed military official. Could that be like, bullshit,
the PR guy for the
bullshit,
army?
Hassan.
Words matter, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the words.
Was belligerent, defensive, and argumentative when he discussed his Muslim faith with others. Claim first reported by NPR here in Washington also states...
That, by the way, doesn't sound very Muslim at all. That's not how Muslims talk about their faith. True Muslims don't talk in a belligerent, irritated manner. They don't. It's all about love.
The doctors overseeing his training at Walter Reed discussed their concerns about Hassan's behavior. NPR is also reporting further action was blocked, according to the doctors they interviewed, largely due to bureaucracy.
According to the doctors they interviewed. Let's not tell you which ones either.
It's apparently difficult and a lengthy process to expel doctors in the military, Chef.
You know, there was a lot of talk today, Catherine, about who was at fault here or there regarding any missed warning signs.
This is great. This is fantastic, John. So now we're going to get the warning sign so we can spy on our Muslim neighbors.
Yep. But not only that, but there's a kicker in here that there's one of these kickers that goes, oh, brother, this is a good one. Okay. Listen to their lame excuse. Go on.
Well, that's correct. Multiple investigators familiar with the FBI's review.
Again, multiple investigators familiar. I mean, could you just tell me who? Give me some names.
You have the Hassan emails sent to that radical imam say there was not enough in those messages to launch a full investigation. One government counterterrorism investigator tells me, had we launched...
Another counterterrorist investigator. She knows a lot of people, John. I'd love to have her Rolodex. It's all Mr. Smith. A lot of S's. It's bullshit.
Had we launched an investigation of Hassan, we'd have been crucified because the mail suggested he was looking for spiritual and religious guidance. We couldn't launch because of First Amendment privileges.
Well, there it is.
No, stop. There's no First Amendment privilege when it comes to that.
Wait, let's stop and analyze what she said.
Let's listen to it again to make sure we get it right.
Okay, back it up.
Okay, here we go.
Terrorism investigator tells me, had we launched an investigation of Hassan, we'd have been crucified because the mail suggested he was looking for spiritual and religious guidance. We couldn't launch because of First Amendment privileges.
But they're already reading the guy's email.
Yeah.
They're reading the guy's email. Don't you have like some protection under the Constitution for that?
Yeah, apparently not if you're in the Army. But it's beside the point. Just listen to the structure of this whole argument. First of all, we have something called the Patriot Act. You can pretty much do anything you want, investigate it in an investigation.
Thank
or
you.
You can investigate
you.
Anybody you want.
No, so you can arrest anybody you want at any moment.
You can do anything you want. So this is bull. This is just an out-and-out lie. See, I mean, I don't even know if she's making it up or not. And then they throw in this little needle about, the First Amendment. And, of course, Shepard Smith says nothing about this. Like, don't you think we should be protecting the First Amendment? Well, apparently not, because if the First Amendment can go by the wayside, then we won't have these incidents anymore. Whose side are these people on?
John C. Dvorak's pet peeve of the day.
The source adds that Hassan's emails were vetted and shared, quote, within the appropriate chains, but they would not explain who at defense and at what level, Shep.
And Shep. Hey, Shep. Oh, do you hear the sirens, John? They're coming to get me.
Good.
Yeah, Shep. Yeah, Shep. Well, that's it, Shep. I have all these sources who I can't name, and
your source told you more about the real.
Your source? She doesn't have a source. She has a makeup woman, hair and makeup people. She doesn't have no sources.
Substance of these emails, right?
Well, correct. The emails are characterized to me this way. He, Hassan, appeared to be at a moral impasse, facing a moral dilemma, who was reaching out for advice from that radical imam.
You know, this sounds like I'm listening to Law and Order. These are actors. They're reading a script. They're reading from the script. It's completely made up. There's just no sources. There's no information. No one read the emails to her. And apparently there's no constitution.
And this government counterterrorism investigator also suggests that Hassan may have had other suspicious contacts, telling me no one missed anything or connections.
Links to Al-Qaeda.
To nefarious individuals and all.
Nefarious.
Well, then why they have an investigation?
Well,
all of this presumably will come out in the review, both at the FBI and within the military.
There's a lot of presumably, allegedly unknown sources.
This show stinks. So, but it gets worse.
You know what? I'm about ready to go take a flu shot. I'm ready for it. I don't want to be on the same earth with this woman.
So all the Wall Street bankers are getting flu shots. I think that's just desserts. Anyway,
that's good. That's rocks.
Okay, so now it gets even funnier.
Okay.
So we go from this bogus report, which, you know, wants to get rid of the First Amendment because it seems to be what's in the way of everything.
Yeah, this is no good. The First Amendment. We could have stopped this senseless killing.
So, yeah, and the way they did that subtle First Amendment thing, just that's really, I mean, I turned red when I heard that. I'm thinking, this is Fox, the Democrats, you know, this phony baloney network. So
I love your Freudian slip, Fox, the Democrats. Your Freudian slip is great.
It wasn't Freudian. So anyway, I buy into the theory. So let's go to the next Shepard Smith clip. Now this one here, you have to actually watch it. It is hilarious. But you're going to listen to the whole thing, and at the end,
Not allowed to interrupt?
No, you can interrupt, but I'll tell you when to let it go to the end. And the reason what's interesting at the end is Shepard Smith is handed a softball to ask a question about a huge, I never heard this on any other network. It's just like, here is something very interesting. Let's follow up on it. What does he do? He doesn't even notice it.
It's like a Nerf ball in slow motion is what you're saying.
It was like, yeah, exactly. Now the setup for this is they apparently somehow got into this shooter's apartment. And they looked around and they saw all these things like a thumbtack and a chair.
Oh no! A very suspicious chair with a thumbtack upside down.
Play the clip.
In the living room, we saw a heavy-duty paper shredder. It was
clearly to destroy evidence.
It was left open. Any trace of paper had already been removed. Next to the shredder, we saw prayer mats. On the kitchen table, we saw foreign currency, coins from...
Were they in my apartment? It's not a prayer mat.
I gotta mention is that these prayer mats are like two scarves.
Yeah.
I mean, a Muslim prayer mat is usually a pretty nice little rug.
It's a beautiful rug, yeah.
It's not, these were like, it looked like two scarves.
They've got prayer mats. Oh my God. I'm telling you, this is my apartment. Foreign coins, paper shredder. It's I got yoga mats, and you know, and so they look like prayer mats. I'm sure
it could be. I mean, bonehead, we don't know what you really do.
Exactly. And I've got a sex swing.
Kitchen table, we saw foreign currency, coins from Jordan and Israel, and a book entitled Dreams.
I've got foreign currency from Zimbabwe. I am dangerous.
And interpretations. Also in the kitchen, a stack of papers that were turned upside down.
Oh, no! Oh! Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no!
It's a stack of papers turned upside down. What a report.
I'm sure people are sitting there going like, shit, honey, he had foreign coins and upside down paper stack.
Yeah, that shit, must honey. Mean something.
Yeah. I'm sorry for it to be Southern when I do that, but that's just the stereotype. I'm a slave owner mocking. I'm a Northerner mocking the Southerners from the 1800s. I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize. Whatever.
And a green lockbox was left in the kitchen sink. In the bedroom, we saw a new DVD burner, but no signs of a computer to operate it.
It's probably your son, John. This bogus DVD burner.
In the utility room, we saw a shoebox full of vitamins and medication.
Oh, my God.
Including prescription drugs that Hassan had prescribed for himself and filled at Walter Reed and another clinic at Lackland Air Force Base.
What was it, Viagra?
And on our way out, we noticed a closet that was taped shut with a note that read, "Do not open."
Until December 25th. What is that?
It's an idiotic report.
Okay, I'm going to let it run to the end now.
Yeah, let it run to the end.
And Shepard, the medicine inside that shoebox included cough suppressants, medicine to fight off bronchitis, and other medication to treat HIV, Shepard.
Hmm. His lawyer was speaking to the...
So that's the softball, obviously. He's not listening, John. He's reading
they
ahead.
Have HIV
drugs. No, Shepard Smith is already reading the script for the next segment. He's already memorizing
Play
his lines.
Play that little bit at the end again, because the way he shoves it off to another topic, it's just hilarious.
It's amazing.
Bronchitis and other medication to treat HIV, Shepard.
His lawyer was speaking today. What did he say?
It's completely... Because this is a script.
His lawyer is speaking today. What did he say? The guy has AIDS.
Yeah.
And this isn't brought up by anybody at Fox? This is kind of interesting. Don't you think it should be at least questioned, or there should be some aspect of this? I mean, it just doesn't, you know, there's, I don't know if it means anything, but it sure is interesting. It's more interesting than the paper stack turned upside down.
No, I thought that was pretty good, man. That's some real production right there. Yeah, this whole thing is, first of all, it is the distraction du jour. It is
for
not
the right, but the right wingers.
Yeah, but it's not just the distraction. It is the catalyst for the renewal of the Patriot Act. And I am convinced that this is exactly what's needed to bring in another 48,000 troops into Afghanistan, which I want to talk about later as well.
Well, you got to do something, but those poppies are going to be rotten here pretty soon.
So Seth, who was a former soldier and Fort Hood resident and one of our producers, sent me a transcript of a snippet from the O'Reilly on Fox. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters, who was a Fox News strategic analyst, was on the show. And I'll just quote, "Bill, we just need to get a grip on this and put it in perspective. Very straightforward. What happened yesterday at Fort Hood was the worst terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11. It was committed by a Muslim fanatic who shouted, 'Allah is great,' and gunned down 44 unarmed, innocent soldiers and civilians." So I wish I had the clip, but I think I did a pretty good job.
This is probably as good as the clip.
So that's basically the message. Of course, we talked a lot about the weapon that was used. And we've got to figure, you know, if there is, we have noagendaforums.com. And what I really appreciate is instead of sending John and I email, because it becomes a real problem. There's so many people listening to the show. For instance, when we said, hey, can we get someone to do a lo-fi version of the show? Well, you can get this show now in just about every bit rate, every encoding algorithm you can imagine, except there's no way for me to gather all the information other than I will have one link in the show notes to a lo-fi, which was requested by one of our, Australian listeners, I think, who had some
guy in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. But, you know, when you are a weapons expert, and I highly appreciate it, put it in noagendaforum.com. That's really where the information should go.
Yeah, we can search it.
The follow-up stuff, yeah. So the weapon Hassan used, quote, used, according to sources, was the FN-57 handgun, John.
I thought it was an AR-15.
Well, the thing is, this is part of the problem is the reports are so messed up. I mean, I read an M16 was used, which is what we discussed on the last show. So now they've all decided it is a small handgun, the 5.7. It shoots 5.7 by 28 millimeter rounds. By the way, it's not a clip, John. It is a magazine. Capacity.
A handgun with a magazine? A handgun has a clip.
Well, I'm not gonna argue with our producers.
Right.
He says technically it is incorrect. Technically, it is a gun expert would call it a magazine.
All right.
The capacity of 20 rounds. And, of course, the media made a big stink some time ago about the 5.7 by 28 millimeter being a round capable of piercing body armor. So none of that type of ammunition is for sale to civilians. John also mentioned high-capacity magazine, well, he called them clips, were illegal for civilian purchase. That's no longer true since, oh, the expiration of the erroneously named assault weapon ban in 2004. Ah, interesting. So this could actually be spun to get the assault weapon ban back on track.
Ah.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's
absolutely.
That's why they just threw in the 5.7. Oh, they used this ammo. No. But still, the amount of damage, I mean, wow. For a handgun. Have you ever shot a handgun? Have you ever, I mean, just like, of course you have. Hey, you know, that shit ain't easy to hit something.
That's not true.
if you're reloading and you're basically blowing down
one of these guns, you can hit people easy.
He reloaded three times. This is the thing
that I don't get.
Yeah.
If you go to the range and shoot a lot, you get pretty good at it. But the fact of the matter is, they say that this guy didn't even like guns and he didn't shoot much. But meanwhile, he's slapping magazines in and out of this thing like a pro. Like it's like somebody like on CSI. You know, by the way, why are CSI guys so good with guns? Aren't they just supposed to be crime scene investigators? But anyway, it's beside the point. It just seems to me that you look like you're on, you know, you're some professional, the hitman, shooting up the place. I don't know. This whole thing stinks. Nah.
He's a patsy, and there were more people. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's horrible.
It doesn't matter.
The people died.
Patriot Act, just ban all guns.
Yeah. It's just, why do they have to go? I mean, why don't they just, they have to go killing people. They got to go killing people to get their way. That's the thug way to do it. That's the Chicago way. You know what? I'm not getting what I want. Here, bitch.
Okay. Hey, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you remember, we did this on the show about a month ago. They had this terrorist in Chicago that was going to blow something up. And then they had the phony baloney terrorist in Fort Worth that was suckered by the government agent to blow something up. And it didn't blow up, of course, because the guy was just obviously mentally retarded. And they managed to talk him into doing a bunch of stuff that proves he would have blown up the building if he could, because he was a dummy. And so that got no traction. It was just like, oh, two terrorists, blah, 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 blah. And let's talk about the two terrorists, domestic terrorists, you know, domestic bread or whatever the meaning is.
they haven't labeled this guy yet as a domestic terrorist. That's coming next, probably.
There's got to be some labeling going on with this guy, and there's going to be a few more things. I mean, the thing
homegrown terrorist. That's what
homegrown terrorist. Homegrown. That's right.
So the guy is apparently awake.
By the way, to use the word homegrown is also, you know, since homegrown also means people who grow their own weed.
Marijuana, yeah.
Do you want to put as much bad spin on that term that you can? Because if marijuana is ever legalized, homegrown is going to be bad marijuana.
Oh, yeah. Because it has to be the legal shit.
Well, by the way, there's one more thing about this guy. When they went through his house, they said he had coinage from Jordan and Israel. What is he doing in Israel? The Muslims don't go to Israel. They don't like Israel.
Well, he was
nobody's asking about that either, so what am I even bringing it up for?
So apparently the guy's awake. He's off the breathing apparatus.
They're going to have to do away. They're going to have to make him die or something.
I've already played the sound effect too many times. It's going to be unfortunately they couldn't talk to him because he already succumbed to his injuries or some shit like that.
No, I can't imagine this guy getting loose.
Joe Lieberman said Sunday he wants Congress to determine whether the shootings constitute a terrorist attack and whether warning signs that Hassan was embracing an increasingly extremist view of Islamic ideology were missed. There you go. It's in Congress. Thanks, Liebie. Good job, dude. I mean, it totally sucks what happened, but what's coming out of this is messed up.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, anyway, something.
The whole thing stinks.
Something really good happened.
A bunch of people were killed in this action, and I just find the whole thing distressing.
There was some really good television that I unfortunately missed because I'm a big fan of this idea, and unfortunately, we don't really do it right or do it enough. You remember John Allen Muhammad? He was the trunk sharpshooter.
Oh, yeah, right. The guy that was in the trunk in Washington, D.C. shooting through a hole in the back.
Killing people, right.
Yeah, killing people.
And, of course, you know, we weren't doing the show back then. Otherwise, I'm sure we would have come up with some conspiracy that it wasn't this guy or whatever. However, he was convicted, and he was sentenced to death by lethal injection. And Larry King Live carried it live. They had the camera live on the scene and everything, and they waited for the guy to come out and say that he had died. And I keep waiting. Why don't they just put the camera in the execution room?
Oh, we're one step away.
Yeah, well, it would be, I'm telling you, it's huge for the ratings.
Oh, I knew. I predicted this 20 years ago. I mean, you and I probably both have agreed on
this.
We've
talked about this. Yeah, we've talked about
this. This is huge. Yeah. Why don't you just get it over with, TV people?
Yeah.
Realize that you're a bunch of slime balls anyway, and do this. Do it. Get it over with. But the public will love it. And besides that, it might actually be a deterrent to crime.
Yeah, when you see someone flopping around.
Here's the deal. They have this big argument about, you know, it's a death penalty. It's a deterrent to crime. It's a deterrent to crime.
Then show it on TV.
If you don't see it.
Yeah, you got to see it. You got to see that needle going in. You got to see the guy flopping, struggling for air. You know, and we should have a live studio audience. And we should have a little applause sign flashing.
Yeah, maybe they can rate the death.
Yeah, that's right. No. Oh, dude, even better. It's a reality show. It's Death Row, and you get voted off. And we get voted off.
One guy's life is saved.
That's right.
Death Row.
You're saved. And, you know, we can have Ryan Seacrest.
By Mark Burnett.
We can have Ryan Seacrest host it. He'd be like, I'm sorry, Muhammad. You've been voted off this week. Well, time to strap him in, everybody. Strap him in. Strap him in. It'd be perfect.
I think it'd be better with the electric chair, though. That's supposed to be really gruesome to watch.
Yeah, because your eyeballs pop out and shit.
Yeah, and brown goo comes out of your mouth, and you shake a lot.
So if you're thinking to yourself, wow, these guys are on to something, and you'd like to hear more of these fabulous ideas, perhaps perhaps three times a week, hey, John, tell them how they can get it.
Well, you can do it by donating to the No Agenda cause. And by the way, we appreciate everybody who gave us money since Sunday. And we actually got a pretty good response this week. So we must have done something right. I think thanking people for, you know, we get a lot of people still that send us small amounts. And a lot of people that have coughed up, two people have coughed up what was left, even though it's like $3, but it still helps. What was left of their PayPal account,
cool.
They just emptied it because the guy says, hey, I realized I had some money left in this stupid thing. I never use it for anything. Here, take it.
Boom.
Got done.
It. Love it. Thank you. Highly appreciated.
So let's go over some people that gave us, that contributed, some of our new producers and some of the old ones. Tanya Weiman, W-E-I-M-A-N from New York City, who I kept pronouncing Wyman, decided to donate another $50 so she could tell me off because I was mispronouncing her name constantly.
And she's on her, and she has claimed it, so I think you should start marking it down. She has claimed that she is on her own personal night layaway program.
Yes, and she is. There's a couple of people
doing
that.
But she can't be a knight. Doesn't she have to be like a lady?
A nightis. I don't know. We're going to have to do some research before she gets to the $1,000 mark because I don't want to embarrass us ourselves or her. But anyway, Tanya Weiman, and I'm sorry I mispronounced her name, but I keep looking at it and I just don't get the Weiman part. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, New York City. Let's see, William Arcand, we mentioned, he's on his own night program too, and he gave us $137.37, which... And then he followed it up with $173.73, and so he has some sort of
palindrome thing going
about
on.
How to do things.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
next
all right.
Will be whatever.
Millions.
Then we have from a kind of an anonymous donor in Phoenix. He just wants us to pay for $50. He wants us. He says, anybody going to Arizona in the next week, check out podcampaz.org. Teaches people to do podcasting, and it's PodCamp AZ. So it's podcampaz.org. You might learn something. Hopefully he's familiar with good quality microphones.
Yes. By the way, I'm this week in my hotel room, I am using the empty Voss water bottle as my microphone stand.
and what is the brand of that lavalier you use?
It is the Lectro. So that's Lima Echo Charlie Tango Romeo Oscar. The Lectro
voice?
No, Lectro UM110.
I never even heard of that mic.
Yeah, well, it kicks ass.
Well, for your voice, maybe. Nelson Kunkel, Edwards, Colorado, $250. One of, he's one of the executive producers for this week's show, along with William R. Cand. Then we have Werner Bogula, B-O-G-U-L-A, $50. And he's in Hamburg, Germany.
Guten Tag, Werner. Danke. Vielen Dank, mein Freund. Komm her.
And then we had some woman who's anonymous that said that she's she keeps donating, and she says that she's doing it for Doug Adams, the late author, who actually I knew.
And, would he have liked this show, do you think?
He'd love the show, although he's yeah, I think he would, because it's enough of it's anarchistic enough for his
taste. Hey, there's
an amazing sense of humor.
There's the 752.
Yeah, 752 is going by, hauling people to Sacramento.
Right on time.
James McLemore, Nashua, New Hampshire, 5225, a palindrome.
Yes.
James Real, R-I-E-H-L, I think it's pronounced Real.
Or in Real. Brooklyn. Oh, Real.
Yeah. In Brooklyn. He's in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn!
$50. Thanks, and then we have another anonymous person who actually gave us $150 that doesn't want to be mentioned at all, except for he wants us to fix the URLs in the RSS feed.
Well, the problem, John, is twofold. There is actually, the problem lies entirely with the Mevio uploader, and I'm not sure what the problem is. And I've asked Andrew Grummet to look at it. He's been incredibly busy with all this frickin' ad network crap, and you know, it's like fill rates and whatever. So
fill rates.
Oh,
all right. I'm just saying that's what he said. I know.
We definitely, because I guess the problem is that the noagendashow.com site is picking up the RSS feed, and the RSS feed somehow, for some reason, it adds a slash in front of every URL, so typically a browser will view that as a base URL, and then it's lame. Okay, we're lame. We need to hire someone to fix that, or Andrew Grummet could fix it.
Well, if he had the time. Sterling Ellsworth, our old buddy in Santa Barbara. Sterling, $77.77. He's going for the lucky numbers. He wants to hit 777 on the slot machine. And this is his eighth donation of that exact same thing. Now, here we go. Vladimir Frunza, F-R-U-N-Z-A, $50. St. Petersburg, Russia.
Awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. I wonder if there's like an underground network, a botnet distributing No Agenda.
Well, if they wanted, you know, I would like to have more Russian listeners, because they can contribute all kinds of wacky ideas.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alex, who's in Gitmo Nation East, is from Russia. He's always got some good stuff. He sends stuff over from time to time.
Christopher Lynn Hartson from Richland, Washington, gave us $84.61, which is a generous donation. And that's Obama's birthday. So 8461, I guess.
Okay.
Cool. Matthew Stroh, Holly Springs, North Carolina, gave us $54.46. And he says that the number has something to do with Toots and the Maytals.
What?
It's what he said.
Toots and the Maytals?
Yeah, 54.46. I think somebody else did that once before. Anyway, finally, Marco Iacono. I'm sure it's pronounced Iacono, I hope. Another New Yorker, New York City. It's like two from New York City, $50.
Well, because it's finally hitting in New York. In New York, the crunch is on. People are out of work. Condos are, electricity is, you're not going to hear this. You know, Shepard Smith is not going to bring you this news, but let me do it for you. Okay. My sources have told me that condos in New York City, they're turning off electricity, water, and other essential utilities because the condo companies are broke and they can't pay the bills. Commercial real estate is standing empty. Pretty soon we're going to have homeless people breaking into offices and living there. If you've never seen Escape from New York, go rent the DVD, because that's what's happening. It's coming to New York.
You know, squatters, you know, that's what they do.
Yeah.
You go in, you find a building that's vacant, you just move in.
Hell yeah.
You know, you can get the gas light, the gas lamps, you know, the Latin lamp, the one that uses a mantle.
The lights are on. Most of these empty buildings, the lights are still on at night.
If the light, even if they kill the lights, I mean, usually they're not going to cut the gas. Maybe they will, but you can bring in little stoves and stuff. You can get by. You can have other lamps. You can have battery powered stuff. You know, what you do is you take your laptop, you put it in the abandoned building, and you use it until the battery dies. And you go down to the New York Public Library, charge it in the library while you're surfing
reading,
the web.
While you're reading.
While you're reading. And then you take it back, and you got, you know, enough juice.
You can't be surfing Dvorak.org in the library, though. I think you're banned.
No, I don't know. I'd have to look and check. I'd like somebody to tell me if you can go to the New York Public Library and if my site is blocked.
So I have to say my heart feels good, John. It feels like we got a lot of donations this week.
Yeah, we did. We got our amount, pretty much what we need to get, and I would encourage other people to donate in any way you want. I mean, you can give us what's left of your PayPal account, or you can subscribe to the $5 a month thing, or you can give us a big donation, $50 or more, you get mentioned, or you can give $200 and get essentially something for your bio. Go to Dvorak.org/NA or noagendashow.com and then click on one of the links to the PayPal account. And I'm going to set up a Google and some of the other money collection accounts.
Stop threatening, please.
Because people complain that they don't like PayPal. Yeah. I know, I'm a little slow on the draw.
Have you read that white paper I sent you?
It's breaking up, Adam.
Did you read the white paper I sent you about getting things done? No, you didn't.
I have it, but I didn't.
you forgot to get to it. So I've been using the system now for 3 days. No, 4 days. I love it.
You were using it 4 days the last time we talked about it.
No, I was using it one day, and I'd already remembered to get the milk. Okay, then it's a week. I've been using it for a week. I love it. It's absolutely working for me.
I'll start a program on Monday.
I love it. You can try... I think it's the site is called don'tforgetthemilk.com.
I use that.
Yeah?
Well, I use it on my. I have don'tforgetthemilk.com on my Google Calendar.
Well, maybe right, but maybe if you read the first the introduction to the white paper. That's all you need. You're a smart guy. You'll get it. You'll know how to apply the system. Okay.
All right. It's worth it. Right after the show is over.
Yeah. Thou shalt not kill.
I just want to mention to everybody that we really thank you for, especially the lesser donations, the bigger donations, everything in between. But just go to noagendashow.com and dvorak.org/NA and keep this going.
And when we win our People's Choice Podcast Award, we will thank every single person who has donated to the show.
That'll take up a couple shows.
No, we'll just do one whole show where that's all we do. Well, we could do that as an extra.
We could do it as a put it on a CD.
Okay.
I know my name's in there somewhere. It's in the second hour.
Hey, there was something I was sent. I don't know if you blogged this. I don't think so because I didn't see it anywhere. It was one of these esoteric CNBC shows. And they had I'm sorry, are we done with all the donations?
Yeah, we're done with the donations. I want to thank everybody again.
Yeah, no, and I too thank everybody. Awesome. And on this show, let me just open it up here, and I got to talk for a second while it downloads and crunches the Skype connection.
We're back.
This is probably one of the nighttime shows. Of course, no one watches CNBC at night, or maybe very early in the morning, which also very very few people watch. And they had on the show a guy from Seattle, a capital fund manager, Nine Points Capital Partners. Have you ever heard of them, John?
Nope.
Okay. Just listen to – so, of course, gold has gone through the roof. We're now $1,100 plus, and we started talking about gold when it was about $800 on this show 18 years ago. And he says, and this is on CNBC. Have you seen this clip, John? Do you know what I'm about to play?
No, I have no idea.
David Vickers, Chief Investment Officer, Nine Points Capital Partners, staying with us live out of Seattle, Washington. David, you guys are a hedge fund, and what you guys basically do is you try and catch breaks either to the up or downside. Apparently with oil.
So first of all, it's like, who do you think is watching? Morons? Please explain the hedge fund. You guys basically try to catch the upside or the downside. Dude. Isn't that what
CNBC? Like,
yeah, thanks, dude. All right, thanks. Appreciate
it. A stock means you have a share of ownership of a corporation.
Thanks for the info, dude.
Also, with gold, you've done the timing pretty right, God. And just as it started to oil up past 75, gold past 1,000, are you going to sit on those positions then?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is, I mean, you can think a lot about it and you can, you know.
Just stay with it for a second because it gets really good.
You know, one day and, you know, have all these vacillations psychologically, but, you know, this is the time to, you know, to play ping pong, to, you know, pick up, you know, get involved in model making or
do some for cock to show on the internet. Just do something. Whatever you do, don't invest.
Or something ridiculous. I mean, this is the time where you make money, where the trend develops. And so there's really not a lot to do with it. I mean, oil looks higher. Gold looks higher. Currencies look weaker, all for the reasons that we talked about before. I mean, you've got huge wage disparities. I don't know how that
here it comes
inevitably resolves itself. It may resolve itself in some type of a global currency crisis. And then if the global currency crisis unfolds, then inevitably you get, I guess, an alignment under a global world government, a new global currency, and a new world order.
What? Who is this maniac?
I love this guy. He's my new hero.
God, this is nobody in CNN. Nobody's listening. You're probably the only guy that actually heard him.
This is why you donate to this show, to hear these gems. This is beautiful. And they're showing
the
U.S. dollar.
Is, what is the other guy doing, jerking off while he's listening to this?
Yes. No, they're actually, they've already gotten him off screen. They're showing the U.S. dollar index, which, as you can imagine, goes down. Let's just listen to that again. That was beautiful. It was like all the things I've been telling you, he does it in like 30 seconds.
Crisis unfolds, then inevitably you get, I guess, an alignment under a global world government.
Ding.
A new
global
currency.
Wait, start it over. I got my ding here.
Okay. Ready? Well, the Skype connection might be kind of weird. Let's see if we can do it. See if we can time it. So start when the first thing he says, the global currency crisis. I need a ding for that.
Reasons that we talked about before. I mean, you've got huge wage disparities. I don't know how that inevitably resolves itself. It may resolve itself in some type of a global currency crisis. And then if the global currency crisis unfolds, then inevitably you get, I guess, an alignment under a global world government, a new global currency, and a new world order. So
all the boxes are checked.
We may be moving towards that.
Talk to us a little bit more about this currency.
But listen to his response. Listen to his response. This is the best. You're right. He was jerking off. He's like, is this guy done yet? Listen to him.
And a new world order. So we may be moving towards that.
Talk to us a little bit more about this currency crisis you see erupting. What? What does that assume about?
He went to the Shepard Smith School of Broadcasting.
He doesn't say anything about this guy's his crazy comments.
No, they're not crazy. The guy's like, yep. Yep, that's right.
That's right. It too. Funny thing.
I'm just pulling my pud here. Yep, that's right.
That's an idiot.
Let's just do it. Just,
currency crisis you see erupting. What does that assume about what's going to happen to the dollar?
So the world is coming to an end. We have a new world order, a global currency. Hey, how about that dollar?
No, it's like, yeah, we got the world coming in, new currency, world domination, new world order. But I got a follow-up question.
Yeah, it's on my paper here.
Give me a break.
What about that dollar? Do real investors watch CNBC? Who is this intended for?
No, real investors watch CNBC all day.
Yeah, because they want to be in the game.
They're basically in the offices of every.
Oh yeah, it's on. Yeah, but the sound is off.
Yeah, but believe me, when the market closes and maybe they watch some more stuff while they're cleaning their office up, then they're home watching, you know, Law and Order and the rest of it.
No, you know what?
Nobody watches CNBC like you said after 7 o'clock.
But the sound is off, and all they're doing is like, oh, Aaron Burnett. Maria Bartiromo. That's what they're doing. When the door is closed and CNBC is on, they're pulling
Nobody's
their puds, the
that.
Money honeys. That's what it's all about.
Money honeys. the better girls
well,
are on
it,
Fox.
It assumes that the dollar will utterly get destroyed and become virtually worthless. You know, we have a combined. Well, I mean, here's what we know. We know that if you can produce something, that this game that we have going on.
Yeah, he's even saying it. It's a game.
Yeah, it's a game, which means he doesn't know the resolution of the game. He's just like making it up as he goes along. He thinks he knows.
I love the guy. Well, I'm not going to play any more of it because now you're just going to harsh my mellow. And I was really feeling good about it.
It was pretty funny. And you're right. You're probably like you and actually the people that now, actually probably CNBC after you played that clip probably had more listeners now that listen to No Agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Than listen to the original. People like, a very small audience.
Hey, maybe I should watch that CNBC from time to time. You know, Jared, one of our producers, sent me a link. So this is nothing we can really discuss, but it's a link. You know joelonsoftware.com? I'm sure you've heard of that. Well, joelonsoftware.com is kind of there's forums and it's a Joel on Software talks about programming techniques and stuff. And so one of our producers, Jared, was surfing around the forums and he found all these message threads from these guys who apparently are programming, this is from 2008, who are programming the high speed or the high velocity trading programs for you know, Goldman Sachs. And they're talking about, you know, how to use, certain type of programming, algorithms. Here, I'm quoting from this. So one guy is asking the question, this is an arbitrage system. Increased speed is directly correlated to increased profit. Another guy in the discussion points out that it's for derivatives trading. At less is more. When I calculate a price of a CDO tranche, it gets expressed as contingent PV minus coupon times premium PV dash upfront. All these numbers are the order of about $40 million. I mean, this is amazing. They're not even hiding this shit. They're just in forums talking about. And by the way, there's probably just really good programmers. There's really good guys, and I can't blame them. I know one guy at least who does this stuff, and they're amazing. They're like mercenaries. So I'll put that link in the show notes at noagendashow.com. It'd be kind of fun to read. And another link came from CNN. It makes no sense to play the audio. It's a video from, I don't know if you've heard, another piece of really important news. New York subway, a woman fell onto the tracks and the train stops just inches before running it over. Have you seen this video, John?
We ran it on the blog.
But did you really see what was happening in the video?
Yeah, well, when I was reading the comments, the people were pointing out that it seemed to be some sort of facial recognition.
Yeah, there's all these boxes that like continue to follow people. It's from the the footage is from the security cameras. Right. And it looks like they've got body recognition, biometrics, not just tracking faces, it's tracking individuals. It's pretty interesting. So,
yeah, I guess because you could probably put, like, if you had this thing through some computer and they had a box around somebody, you could probably click on the box and then you could just follow them.
And then I did my homework, John, and I'm happy that we got so much in donations this week, or at least a good start, because it's still not enough to quit the day job. Although I think we're getting closer. I mean, I'm willing to take a salary cut just to do this full time.
It would be a whopper.
Yeah, and that's true. Still, I hope Mickey's not listening. Honey, I have good news and bad news. Good news, I'm doing No Agenda full time. Bad news.
So I get to be home all day.
Yeah, bad news, we're living in a box.
You might be living in a box anyway, the way things are going there.
No shit. So I read the Operation Iraqi Freedom report from the GAO. I read through the whole thing, John.
Oh, good. So I'm glad somebody did.
Oh, my God. It's a mess. Oh, they have no idea. They have contractors there. And you know, I'll give you the link in the show notes. You can read through it yourself. Actually, I'll give you my highlighted version of the PDF. That'll be worth it. I highlighted things I just thought were outrageous.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a public service.
Yeah, it is.
That's worth a donation.
So the observations at the end are so tame in compared to what's actually in the report. So I'll just give you the one paragraph from the concluding observations. As I've stated today, much has been done in Iraq and Kuwait to facilitate the drawdown effort. By the way, it's only 5,000 troops who have been drawn down so far. However, the effective execution of the drawdown may be compromised by several complex challenges, notably identification of contractor requirements needed for the drawdown. Dude, they have no idea if contractors there. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know what the contractors are supposed to be doing. They have millions of dollars worth of tools that no one knows who's supposed to be using them.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
All
there's
in
a
this
whole
report.
Bunch, in that report, there's a whole section about how do we get our crap back.
And this is my favorite. Let me see if I can. They have containers. Containers, which, you know, containers are really important to move stuff around. Here it is. According to U.S. Army central officials, the data system in place to track containers is inaccurate and incomplete because, among other factors, it must manually be updated every time a container arrives at or leaves a specific location. Reports based the data from this system indicate the system is at best 25% accurate.
Wow.
Of all containers. Furthermore, updates to the location and status of containers may not occur routinely because of personnel shortages. There's like 300,000 people there. For example, according to officials in charge of container management, 200 containers listed as located in Iraq were in fact in Afghanistan. Oops. Oops.
What?
Yes. So, subsequent reports indicate that approximately 54,000 containers had been physically inventoried as of August 2009, which was almost 25,000 fewer than the number of containers in the system. And they still don't know where they are. Of these containers entered in the data system, location of over 7,000 could not be verified, and the serviceability of 39% remained unknown. Shipping containers!
Filled with stuff.
Stuff, like money, you know, drugs, all kinds of interesting stuff. And how did 200 containers wind up in Afghanistan? Oops. Please. It's a joke. It's a joke.
We need to just leave.
I mean, well, they can't. This is about leaving. They're literally saying we need to bring in more contractors. There's already over 120,000 contractors.
We bail and just leave the junk there and leave the contractors there and stop paying them and just get the heck out. We'll save money.
No, because we have to retrograde. This is the word used throughout the entire report. We have to retrograde all the equipment. And retrograde, as I looked it up, means render useless.
Why? What's the point? Just leave it there. Leave the people. Give them basically as a great gift for the Iraqis and the Afghanis, a bunch of trucks and jeeps and guns and cranes and God knows what's in these things. You know, money and whatever, everything in between, jugs, bottles. You know, who knows?
Well, you'll like this then. The complexity of issues surrounding transfer authorities has already presented obstacles. For example, in May 2009, MNCI, whatever the hell that is, undertook an initiative to turn over the IBN Sina Hospital located in the international zone to the government of Iraq as a fully equipped, fully operational hospital. Great idea, John. This is what you're calling for, right? However, 100 of the approximately 9,800 pieces of equipment in the hospital, such as intensive care unit beds, trauma centers, and patient vital signs monitoring equipment, were ineligible for transfer because, according to Army officials, the Army could not declare them as excess to the needs of the Army. As a result, officials had to seek alternate means to transfer or sell the remaining pieces of equipment necessary to outfit the hospital. Ultimately, the hospital was transferred to the government of Iraq on schedule. However, it was done without those 100 remaining pieces of important equipment. Because, of course, someone sold them off to Abdullah there on the side of the road.
Probably.
The whole thing is a clusterfuck. And if you weren't pissed off that we were there killing people in the first place, your money is being mismanaged like nobody's business. In fact, they act like it's nobody's business. It's just unconscionable what is happening.
Well, this is the reason the economy's in the tank.
Yeah, it's because there's billions of dollars being wasted. Literally wasted. And they're just going to render everything useless. They don't give it to the Iraqis. They got to blow it up or retrograde.
Retrograde. They got to shoot. Yeah, you're right. They've got to take a bullet to it.
Look up the word retrograde.
I know what it means.
Yeah, what is the definition of retrograde?
It means to it means to return to its original form.
No, in terms of junk. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Retrograde. Hold on. Bitch.
Aha.
No, wait. No, I'm just trying to open up the dictionary.
I know what a retro... Never mind.
Retrograde. Reverting to an earlier and inferior condition.
Yeah, junk.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I said.
Yeah, junk. You're right. So, on that note, I did some more. And by the way, I'm also out here sucking advertiser cock in Chicago, like with my day job. I also reviewed the Copenhagen Treaty Convention.
Oh, brother.
Oh, man.
This is going to be bad. We're going to have to talk about this on Sunday.
Yeah. I think you're right.
That head of the whole thing, she is a... Where did they get her? She's like a journalist.
Yeah, that is actually her credentials, isn't it?
Yeah. She's like a TV reporter. She's a meat puppet.
Increased
and she doesn't know anything about science from what I can tell. Maybe she was a science meat puppet.
So this is
ridiculous.
So this is very, very difficult to read because it has all of these, basically they put in brackets multiple options of the language because they're still working on it. It's a draft.
This is a fiasco.
Oh, I think blood came out of my ear while I was on page 10 as I'm trying to figure out what is actually in here, but it's all filled with IPCC, everything's based on the
It's all bull. And the thing is that if you look at the people that are the committees that put this report or this thing together, this idea, this treaty, whatever they're supposed to call it, it's all Greenpeace people. None of them with a scientific background. Greenpeace, and there was some other organization that was just dominating the whole thing. The Concerned Scientists, which I guess there's some scientists in there, but it's like the Union of Concerned Scientists and Greenpeace guys, and it's mostly and they have representatives.
Let me just read a couple relevant pieces that I highlighted. Acknowledging the findings of the fourth assessment report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, and more recent scientific information, by the way, not linked or mentioned in this report, that delay in reducing emissions significantly constrains opportunities to achieve low stabilization levels and increases the probability of severe climate change impacts and the consequent need for and cost of adaptation of all of this crap. It doesn't actually say that. And then here, as assessed by the IPCC in its fourth assessment report, warming of the climate system as a consequence of human activity is unequivocal. Global atmospheric concentrations of greenhouse gases have increased significantly because of human activities since 1750. Do you have
blood? Well, at least they have a date for it. Hey, what? 1750. These two guys get together. Hey, what are you doing over there?
I'm making some global warming.
A piece of coal, and I'm just going to let it burn.
If you live in low-lying countries, this is really cool. There's either one or two things are going to happen. Here it is. Recognizing all developing countries, in particular low-lying and other small island countries, countries with low-lying coastal, arid and semi-arid areas or areas liable to floods, drought, and desertification, and developing countries with fragile mountainous ecosystems are particularly vulnerable to the adverse effects of climate change. Hey, Holland, you're fucked!
Holland's already underwater. What difference does it make? What's it going to do?
Well, what they're doing here is they're basically ramping up for the whole scare of tidal waves.
They're ramping up to take our money.
Yeah, that's
the thing that didn't work out with the timing on all this, you know, they started working on this. I mean, Gore started on this project years and years earlier, is they didn't expect the world economy to have collapsed.
Yeah.
And now it's because it's all coming to fruition right about now. I mean, the timing was that now is the time we're going to just steal the money from the United States and pass it off and drink and let's all have a party. But We got no money left. We got ourselves involved in a bunch of dumb wars that are bull, and they're just a complete waste. And then the economy collapsed, and we don't have any money to give these third world. We're broke. Just take a look at the CIA fact book and take a look at how much. We're like $700 trillion in the hole. We haven't got any money, folks.
They should put
get
you
it from
on.
Somebody else. Get it from France. Take it out of the EU. The EU,
hey,
they're all.
Hey,
full
you
of
know
this
what?
Stuff.
That, you make a good point. Has anyone from France ever donated
to our show?
Yeah.
I may have to look in the database, but I don't recall anyone from France ever donating
okay.
to the show.
If no one from France has donated, then we're blaming them for everything on this show.
I'll look it up. I know we got a lot of Germans. Yeah. We now have a Russian. We got a lot of Brits, obviously, and a lot of Australians. In fact, Australians.
And a lot of Dutch. A lot of Dutch.
A lot of Dutch. Well, that's because of you.
No, but they're switching on, thank God.
And a lot of Dutch. And we got Belgium. We have a Swiss. We have a lot of Italy. But the French, I don't remember hearing a French thing. And I'm like a Francophile, so
got,
I would have noticed.
You
got
to look out for those Frenchies, man.
They should be paying for this global thing.
At the same time, increased financial support and technology transfer to developing countries will help these countries in their implementation of the NAMAs, which is like the national whatever thingy. Reducing the risk.
Let's just give them all our inventions too while we're at it.
Reducing the risk, I love this, of triggering or crossing tipping points that could result in abrupt climate change.
Oh, just like the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Just like the movie, baby. Oh, shit, John. There's so much we didn't do. We didn't do any swine flu again.
That's okay. The swine flu thing is that we're getting more good information, so we can do swine flu on Sunday. You know, I think, you know, luckily we didn't do swine flu for the last couple of weeks. That may be the reason we got so much money.
Well, that's a good point.
People saying, you know, those guys, they finally got off that swine flu thing with that jingle.
Let's just play the jingle just so we can feel good, okay? It'll make us feel good.
It's the No Agenda Swine Flu Minute.
Because here's the problem. I know that people are actually taking showers in the morning and they're going, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And they're like, holy crap, I'm singing their damn jingle.
It's the No Agenda Swine Flu Minute.
You have now been programmed. You will never be able to forget.
It's a good jingle.
I deprogram them at the same time. Did you hear me do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't actually want to mess with people. That's the Jeff
to
Smith.
We have to discuss that. But somebody mentioned to us, because we had that crazy thing where they have the two people saying, you know, or guys saying two things at the same time.
Yeah.
We have to explain that a little in some detail. Somebody said, you know, why don't you explain how that works? What's the deal?
Yeah, people want to know how NLP works, which is neuro-linguistic programming. You have to – what the only – and maybe we should leave it here. Words, first of all, are very, very important. You hear John and I listening very closely to what people are saying. And the beauty of this being an audio program only, or as Mickey calls it, our little radio show, is because you're not – she does. Hey, that little radio show you do.
Little radio show.
Little radio show. Now she's a big fan. In fact, well, never mind. Is because you're not distracted – by the visuals and hand motions, what people do, eyebrows. Eyebrows are not just there to catch sweat off your brow. They're there to express the way eyebrows move up and down. All this is very important. These are ancient signals since man developed, you know, and we've just become these morons and we just sit there and soak up all this crap where our brains are completely open in front of the television with a flicker rate, which is, by the way, I think that's why they're going to ban flat screen TVs, is because, you know, we're not getting hypnotized enough. The flicker rate is no longer there.
Flickering.
No flicker. So we got to go back to tubes.
I want to mention something now that you brought this whole thing up. One of the things, in fact, I didn't even think about until you started bringing it up, which is the fact that when we do those clips, when we start to deconstruct TV shows like Law and Order, you point out that the acting is so terrible that you don't notice it when you're watching the show because of all these other cues you're getting, and you're actually convinced that they're actually doing so. It's not so horribly blocky.
Yeah. And you can hear how bad it is.
And that's the advantage of doing the show this way as opposed to doing it on video. People say, why don't you do a video version? Because you would be distracted from what we're trying to make you concentrate on, which is the words and the, you know, we want you to think a little deeper. Radio has a different effect on you than TV does. And McLuhan would talk about this, you know, one's a hot medium, one's a cool medium.
So let's pick up on this. Let's make sure that on the next show we talk a little, we should always be telling you how the programming works because your brain is being programmed. And you're right, John. There's some really bad acting. You want to hear some really bad acting?
Yeah, that's all I ever want.
That's what I'm talking about. Are you even paying attention? You need to focus. Your work is lackluster. I want you to get your spark back.
Well, I'm not. That's.
Hey.
You're awesome, by the way. You are awesome. That's a little thing between
more
the two
bad
of us.
Well, I have to take part in the bad acting scene once in a while.
It's highly appreciated. We didn't pay you for that, did we?
No, I didn't even get scale. But I'm telling you, the Tech Grouch is going to have something to say about that.
But Nick did buy you beer and hookers. At least he got my credit card.
He took the hookers, apparently. I don't remember this.
All right. And we'll also talk about V on the next episode because I did watch. And I guess the only thing I can say is, I believe.
Yeah, we do have to talk about V.
We totally got to talk about it. And Mickey actually came up with an amazing theory, which she kept me up at night with her theory about it. So,
well, we saw the second episode yesterday.
Well, don't tell me because I've got it DVR'd.
Okay.
So when I get,
I'm not going to watch it anymore. By the way, I'm sick of it.
Oh no, I'm hooked.
Oh.
Hooked. What? Oh, okay. I could be watching Shepard Smith. You're right, but I think I'll opt out one day a
week.
Hannity. Must watch Hannity. All right. Thanks to our executive producers. Thanks to everyone who donated. Thanks to everyone who listened. NoAgendaForums.com, NoAgendaChat.com, NoAgendaStream.com, NoAgendaShow.com. And please help us out. Coming to you from the heartland of Gitmo Nation, it's where it all takes place, where it was all dreamt up in Chicago, Illinois. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where it's now getting even darker. Weird. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you again right here on No Agenda. That will be this Sunday. Come to church, y'all.